They blew Brion's exploit timestamp by 20-something. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Hockey RPF, Sid Gino. Notes. Someone on Tumblr asked if I had any thoughts about what this Sid and Gino would be up to in Sochi, and well, the same thing as last Olympics, of course. Sid is thinking about a post-game nap when her phone starts to ring, blaring loudly in the quiet room. Wick and Caro are stretching and changing in preparation for a walk, all three of them pausing to stare at the phone. The goofy picture of Gino, half awake, trying to work the temperamental coffee maker Flower had given them as a wedding gift, isn't surprising, but, as always, makes her smile. "Sorry, I'll head out in the hall," Sid apologises, ducking out quickly. It's a FaceTime call, too, so as soon as she accepts, Gino's sleepy face is replaced with Gino's actual sleepy face, toque low on his forehead. "Hi," Sid says, sitting down. "Are you in Newark already?"
"Still in Pittsburgh," he says. "Plane leaves in half an hour. Good game, sweetheart."
"Thanks," Sid says, tucking her knees up to her chest. "Swiss played hard there at the end."
"No problem for you," Gino teases. "I see goal."
Sid laughs. They already talked over the Rangers game in the morning before her game, and she can't help but still be thrown a little by the time zones. But it's not like Gino isn't going to be here soon. No more math required. "I miss you," she says, apropos of nothing. But it's the most they've been apart since they had to go to the Olympics camp in the summer, and the beds had felt too small for all the wrong reasons.
"Miss you more," he says. "Neilsy come sulk on our couch last night. Say Paulie kick him out to finish pack. All snores, and no breakfast for me."
"I didn't kick him out," Paulie says loudly in the background, with the resigned tone of someone who's had to say it a lot.
"Come make sad cow eyes, drink my beer," Gino says in a sigh. "I call Bort, make him come get so not fuck up house while we gone. Like leaving child."
"He's a grown man, he can take care of himself," Paulie says, like he's hoping by saying it enough it'll be true. There's loud laughter, and Yussi appears over Gino's shoulder.
"Hello, Captain,"
he says with a smile, before disappearing out of the frame again.
"Morning person," Gino says with an eye roll. "Disgust. Ask if we want to work out before plane."
Sid laughs.
"No hope for him, Juice," Sid says.
Gino makes a face at her.
"I wake up all on my own this morning," he points out,
which is probably supposed to be proving a point about Gino's ability to function in the morning, but all it does is make Sid's chest ache a little.
"I miss you," she says again,
and it comes out a little breathy. A little, well. It earns her raised eyebrows and a thoughtful hum, but Gino just mutters in Russian just how much he misses her too, and in what ways. Sid has learned enough Russian to talk to her mother-in-law about dinner or the weather, and to turn bright red at the things Gino is suggesting.
"It's time to board," Brooksy says, nudging Gino, before turning to the camera. "Can you make sure there aren't any stray dogs in my room before I get there? Thanks."
"You already have Bacchus in your room. I don't need to put a dog in it," Sid says, her nose wrinkling up with distaste. Gino laughs and blows a kiss to the camera.
"Favorite. Love you," he says,
picking up his bag as he stands. "I love you," Sid says, reminding herself it's only a few more hours until they're together again.
"See you soon.
Be safe."
"Yes, yes," Gino says reassuringly. "Soon."
There's a loud chorus of goodbyes from around Gino, faces she loves crowding in. Just the bright duck fluff of Oli's hair visible before the call ends.
"Do you want to come with us, Coraz?" Caro asks, opening the door to the room. "We can wait for you to change."
"Nah, thanks," Sid says, before she even rethinks about it.
"Gonna take a nap."
"Scared of falling into an open manhole?" Wick jokes. She caps it off with a fond pat to Sid's shoulder as they walk out.
"The sewers probably have bears in them,"
Koro says, and the two of them laugh as they head out. It's a good nap, but as Sid needs to clutch one of the pillows to her chest, wrapping her arms around it like there's someone else in the bed, well, there's no one else in the room to see. She wakes up from her nap to a text letting her know they got to Newark, and we're heading on to Sochi, including a selfie of Max sleeping on Gino's shoulder, Gino looking seriously unimpressed.
Not who I like sleep with,
is the following text, and it surprises a laugh out of Sid. She doesn't respond, since Gino wouldn't get anything for hours anyway. They all go have dinner together as a team, and it's nice for Sid just to listen, to catch up. She has dinner with Marie whenever they play the Habs, and Shannon when they're in Columbus, but she hasn't seen most of them since camp. Before she goes to sleep, though, she sends a text.
I love you. See you in the morning.
She doesn't have a response when she wakes up, but their practice is fairly early. All the teams with an off day trying to get in some ice time before the games in the afternoon. When she checks her phone before her shower, there's a picture of all the boys under a big sign that says, Welcome to Russia. Gino dead center, grinning hugely. She sends back a quick, Let me know when you're on your way from the airport here. Before going to shower and get dressed. And she doesn't look bad in the black tracksuit, but she figures it can't hurt to actually do her hair and put on the jeans that have a 100% return rate on sex. Sid is too impatient to wait any longer when she gets a text.
On way.
And goes down to the athlete security checkpoint. She's been thinking about what Gino said last night all day. And as the minutes tick by, closer and closer to when they're supposed to meet their parents for lunch, she gets antsier. She just wants Gino to herself for a while, before they have to start comparing schedules and trying to steal time together. She sees Paulie first, glasses slipping down his nose as he tries to juggle his bags, and from there, Gino's dark grey toque is easy to spot. Gino! She calls, standing on her tiptoes and waving. Gino's head snaps up and he grins, waving back with both arms, before basically shoving his way through.
Sid!
He shouts back, dropping his bags and running to her. It's just as easy to throw herself into Gino's arms here as it is on the ice, and he catches her easily before kissing her deeply, her thighs locked around his waist, one hand helping to hold her up, the other tangled in her hair. He whispers in her ear in Russian, sweet, filthy things that make her hold on even tighter, cutting them off with a kiss.
You'd think they hadn't seen each other in months, Brooksy says loudly.
Sweet, Yussi says, like puppies. Sid means to say hello to everyone else, but she's distracted by Gino pressing a kiss to her jaw.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go, Paulie says, sounding amused but serious.
Good to see you, Sid. She manages a wave, but in a moment it's just the two of them. Gino's bag's on the ground. And she wants to continue this, but somewhere more private. She glances at her watch. If we get back to your room in the next 4 minutes, we have half an hour before we need to get dressed and go to lunch with our parents, she tells him.
Time limit, Gino says, waggling his eyebrows. Interesting.
Thankfully, home ice benefits seem to include no roommates, which is good because she can't stop kissing Gino, hands sneaking up his shirt as he unbuttons his jeans.
How much you miss me? Gino asks,
as he's slipping his hand into her underwear. Fingers finding when she's slick and hot, getting his fingertips wet before circling her clit. She knows just how thin the walls are around here. Since she heard Hef and Megan talk about parks and recreation for 20 minutes last night, in the next room. But she can't care, gasping out.
I missed you so much. I show you how much I miss you,
Gino says, backing her into the bed, pulling off her shoes, then pants, then panties.
Bed's better for this in Vancouver.
We'll have to hope South Korea has the priorities in... Oh! Sid breaks off into an embarrassingly loud moan as Gino kneels, spreads her legs and just goes right for it, fucking her with his tongue. He's clearly taken the time limit as a challenge, doing all the things that make her craziest, sucking on her clit as he fingers her, pushing her wildly close to orgasm. His other hand pushes her knee out, encouraging her leg to spread even wider, and the stretch is delicious. When he gives her three fingers, she comes in a greedy, tense clutch, a whine high in her throat. "Fuck," Sid groans, feeling like she's just done a double shift on the ice.
"Not done,"
Gino says, kissing her inner thigh, licking away the cool traces of cum left behind on her skin.
"Look in my pocket," Sid says, limb still feeling limp.
Gino grins and he pulls out the condom.
"Olympic," he asks. "Bring back memory."
"I thought you'd like that," Sid says, helpless but to grin back up at Gino. "You know, someone was saying there were 13 condoms per athlete."
26. We both athletes, Gino points out,
following her line of thought.
"Sound like challenge."
"What's a little extra competition?" Sid asks, pulling Gino back down to kiss him, giving as good as she gets. Gino licks into her mouth, tasting herself on his tongue.
"Let's get start," Gino says,
toeing out of his sneakers before shoving his pants and boxers down. They're usually more creative than missionary, but she doesn't have anything to complain about. It's still a stretch when he pushes into her, but it feels so good that a loud sigh slips out, satisfied. It's quick and dirty, and Sid gets herself off while Gino fucks her. The feeling of being full, and Gino kissing down her throat, doing a lot of the work for her. She tries to hold out until he comes, but he's getting her just right, and she's missed him. And she comes again, fingers digging into his winter coat. Gino groans and keeps fucking into her, gritting out a choice selection of filthy little things that make her wish they had at least another 30 minutes before he comes, burying his face in her throat. As tempting as it is to lay around, Sid makes them both get up, trying to clean up a little bit before getting dressed again, scowling at the mess her hair has turned into. "Gee, he'll fly," Sid says, gesturing. She's not going to lunch with their parents, looking like they just had a quickie, even if they have. "Hello!" Alex yells, flinging open the door, as Gino is zipping up his pants. Sid shoots Gino a look. She knows they were both a little preoccupied, but she can't believe they forgot to lock the door. Alex visibly pauses for a second before grinning wider. "What is it about you two in the Olympics? It's good to see you both. Ready to go?" Maria pushes past him and checks herself just as visibly as Alex had.
"Hello, Xenia, Sydney," she says, grinning. "We ran into your parents downstairs and Sasha invited us to go with you. I'll let them know you're on your way down."
She has to drag Alex to get him to walk out the door, though he pokes his head back in just long enough to point at the empty condom wrapper on the floor and laugh delightedly.
"What did we do to deserve a vetchkin?" Sid grumps,
stealing Gino's comb out of his toiletry bag to attempt to fix her hair a little before giving up and twisting it into a bun.
"He's like unlucky Penny," Gino agrees,
and Sid can't help but smile.
"Bad Penny," she corrects him.
"Both," Gino says, pulling her in to kiss her with her head.
"Bad. Unlucky."
She's seen a lot more of Alex since he started dating Maria, insisting on bizarre double dates that always seem to end up on deadspin. It doesn't mean she likes him much more, though. She likes him even less when he's smugly smirking at her, standing next to her mother, waggling his eyebrows.
"Hi, honey,"
she says, meeting Sydney halfway and hugging her, almost immediately letting go so Gino can wrap her up in a bear hug, laughing the whole time.
"Hello, Mama. You're even more beautiful than Russia," Gino says, incapable of not trying to be favourite child.
There's a flurry of hugging going on, Tatiana and Mikhail practically tackling her into an embrace.
"Sydney! Sydney!"
Tatiana croons in her ear. Tatiana unnerves her in a way Alex clearly wants to but fails. It's all the smiling, probably.
"I was so sad we missed each other last summer. This time we must stay longer in Moscow."
"We'll have to plan better," Sid says noncommittally. The first time she met Tatiana, she drank Sid under the table. Literally.
"We found the best restaurant, the table for all of us. Come on." Tatiana says, tucking Sid against her side. Sid tries to catch Eno's eye, but he's got his mother on one arm, Sid on the other, happy as a clam. The waitstaff nearly falls over themselves to give them the best table in the house. But Sid figures Alex could snap his fingers in Russia and own the restaurant at the end of the appetizer course. He doesn't buy the restaurant, thankfully, but instead tweets an increasingly ridiculous series of photos, selfies of various angles and compositions, to start with, then makes their waitress take a ton. She had known in Vancouver that she would, health permitting, go to Sochi, but had no idea it would be like this. Gino reaching for her hand, their wedding rings tapping against each other, their parents laughing. Sid squeezes back and thinks the only way this could be any better would be the warm weight of a medal against their chests. The end. Thank you for listening.